We are in a study that the Lord has given me, a series called A Word from Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, and we're in part four today.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Hallelujah. All right, would you pray together with me as we begin the Word here this morning? Father, thank you for the time that we've had. It's just been so enjoyable in your presence. I just thank you for the many, many things and blessings. And today, we choose to dig into your Word and to hear from you. And Lord, would you use me today to bring forth your Word. In Jesus' name, bless the Word to our ears. God's people said, amen. All right. Now, last week I was half thinking that maybe Pastor Aaron would continue on A Word from Jeremiah, our series, but he didn't. But he had a powerful word last week. Powerful, powerful. And by the way, one by one, I'm listening to the messages that he preached while I was gone. And I sincerely have been blessed. It has been awesome. And I call him every once in a while. I said, hey, that was a great message. He's like, man, that was 2 months ago, you know. So that's the beauty of the website, to be able to go on there and to listen. But we are in a study that the Lord has given me, a series called A Word from Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, and we're in part four today. And so I like to start every one of these with Jeremiah chapter 1 as we dig into the Word of God here this morning, and I will try to get you out of here by about 3 o'clock today. Is that okay? Some of you are looking a little worried, okay? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to last that long. But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I thought about you. What? I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. So we know that Jeremiah was a prophet not only to the nations of his time, but to the nations of today, because God's word is still for us today. And so this word that God is going to bring today, and I've kind of subtitled this particular lesson today as the word of the Lord is always sure. Can we say that together? The word of the Lord is always sure. Jeremiah chapter 36 is where we're going to begin. And if you missed some of these, go back on the website and take a look at these. But Jeremiah chapter 36, I'm going to do something very unusual today, which I rarely do. But this entire chapter, we're going to read that through today. And we're going to be digging out of this chapter some words from Jeremiah unto us today. So are you ready to go?
Yes.
Chapter 36, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. So remember that king's name, Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord told Jeremiah, take thee a roll of a book and write it therein with all the words that I have spoken unto you against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spoke unto you, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. And may it be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil that I purpose to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. All right, everybody with me so far? We know what's happening. So Jeremiah was speaking it, Baruch was writing it down. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, I want you to go and read in the roll that which has written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also you shall read them in the ears of all Judah that come out from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is his anger and the fury of the Lord that has been pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet had commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed the fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem. And to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, and in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard all the book of the words of the Lord, then he went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, lo, and all the princes sat therein. And even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah. How many of you love these names? Okay. I've practiced this over the years, right? The son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. How many of you want to try this? Okay. We know there's a lot of princes there. But the word of the Lord is being read unto them. Then Micaiah declared unto all of them the words that he had heard, and Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Sounds like Baruch was very, very busy. Nobody's ever heard of this man, except for here. But God was using him as a mouthpiece for Jeremiah. Therefore all the princes sent unto Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shalimai, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of all the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. Again, he's moving, and he's moving from one place to another, reading this. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And it came to pass that when they had heard all these words, they were afraid, both one with another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. So it sounds good so far, right? They're hearing the word of God. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you come to write all these words at his mouth? And Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Now think about that. All that the Lord had given Jeremiah, Jeremiah spoke with his mouth in remembrance of what the Lord had spoken. How many of us remember yesterday? The older we get, seems like we remember yesterday a little more often, right? Or less remember. But God gave a special anointing to Jeremiah to remember these things. And I wrote them in the book. Then he said to the princes of Baruch, then the princes said unto Baruch, go, hide you and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you are at. And they went to the king in the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood by the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. How many of you know there's trouble brewing here? Nevertheless, now Nathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded, Jermael, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shemaiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. I love this. But the Lord hid them. There's trouble brewing. King's not happy. He's looking for them. Baruch and Jeremiah. But the Lord hid them. How many of you know God can hide you if He wants to? Everything's possible except that, right? No. With God, all things are possible. The Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take you again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned that roll. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, you have burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they did not hearken. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. I want you to know the miraculous things that were happening here. A scroll was thrown in the fire that Jeremiah had given to Baruch to write down, and yet a second time he again pronounces those same words. How many of you could do that? By memory. You see, our God has not changed. He's still a miracle-working God. He's still in the business of making things happen because He is God. Very rarely do I read an entire chapter like that. But I wanted us to get the gist of what was happening in the chapter. So now I'm going to draw some valuable points from this particular chapter. So if you're taking notes, I've got about 4 of them. I'll try to make it as quick as I possibly can because I want you to get this word from Jeremiah. Number one, God will always give an opportunity for change for individuals and nations. God never will pronounce a judgment against a nation or against an individual without giving you a warning. God has always sent His prophets to the nations to give the warnings and to give what His heart is. He will always do that. For an example, in that chapter, when we look at these verses in verses 6 and 7, He says, go and read this thing in the Lord's house in the people's ears. At verse 7, it may be that they will present their supplication before me and return everyone from his evil way. So God will always give that opportunity. Some people look at the Old Testament and they say, well, how could a loving God do some of the things and destroy some of the nations that He did? Because the scriptures are very clear that God destroyed the nations. That there were armies that God destroyed. How could he do that if he was a loving God? Because God always gives opportunity to change. He always does. He's a just God. And people today say, well, how could God send someone to hell? Is it God that sends them to hell? That's a choice that is made because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he gives that opportunity for many to come to Christ. I want to look at another scripture here, Zephaniah chapter 2. Hold your place there in Jeremiah chapter 36. This is one of them books that you're like, where is that little thing? Everybody find it? I haven't even gotten there yet. Huh? Zephaniah chapter 2. Brother Rick was already there. He was prepared for it, right? Now this prophet says, gather yourselves together, O nation, not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Contrary to what some people think, that God's just getting ready to, he's just going to hit you and pound you down because he's mad at you. God will always give you opportunity through the Holy Spirit to change. Now, if you are resistant to the change and you say, I will not do that, I will continue to do what I'm doing, what do you think is going to happen? There's chastisement that will come because God's heart is to bring you close to him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. He does that for us. Anybody ever been chastened in the house? If you have not, how many of you have never been chastened of the Lord? Because I was going to give you a sure way to be chastened. You know, one of the sure ways that our grandchildren always got chastened was by saying the word no. And around that two or three, they love to do that. You know, you look at them and say, I want you to do this. And they look at you and say, no. You don't tell Papa no. Or Grammy no. And they found that out. But the chastening of the Lord will be there, but God always will give us the opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 in the New Testament. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, is he? He's not willing that any should perish, but he's long-suffering, waiting, and will always give us that opportunity. So I say that for individuals and as a nation. Now I'm talking as a nation for us as America right now. Is God giving us warnings right now as a nation? He absolutely is. And it's time after time after time that God is giving us warnings. What happens to a nation that refuses the warnings of God? Therefore, God has called us to be a light in this dark nation that we are in right now. Number two point that I want to make. There will always be a remnant that will fear the word of the Lord and believe and repent. In any nation, when God begins to give a word, whether it was this nation of Israel, or nations in the past that have risen and fallen, God gives the opportunity and there will always be a remnant that fear, that word of the Lord. I want you to look at verse 16 through 19 now that we read in chapter 36. Now it came to pass when they heard all these words that they were afraid and said, "We will surely tell the king all these words." They were afraid and they heard the word of the Lord. Always, always, always God will give that. There will always be a remnant that will hear the things of God. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but they shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God." God has a remnant of people. God has a people in America that love Him. So no matter how dark it gets, I want you to remember that God has always reserved that remnant. See, we look around and we say, well, we're the only ones. We're not the only ones. God has a remnant of people all over this United States of America that love Him, willing to give of themselves for the things of God. And we are the light that God has called us to be around. Do you think that God has strategically placed these individuals and these churches? Yes, He has. Yes, He has. There's always that remnant. Though a nation departs from the Lord, or a government departs from the Lord and refuses to call upon God, His remnant become the light. You know, I'm excited about that because the darker things get, the brighter the light shines. How many of you know this time of year it gets pretty dark at night? But the brighter the lights shine whenever they are on. And that should be us in the world that we're living in today. We need to be that bright light. Number 3 point. God's word will always come to pass. Notice I am using that one word, always, in all of these points. Because it is a sure thing with God. The word of the Lord will always come to pass. Based on this chapter, you look at verse 23 and 24. When we look at this, he read this and he cast this into the fire. Verse 24 is one of the scariest parts of this. "Yet they were not afraid." And you know, today there are people that will curse God, curse His Word, throw His Word into the fire and burn it up, and they are not afraid. Nor His servants were afraid. But I want us to know that disrespect for God's Word has a steep price to pay. Unless a man gets saved in our world today, because some of us, before we got saved, we didn't know the Word of God. And we said awful things about Christians. We called them things like what? Holy rollers. Jesus freaks. But then we get saved and we no longer disrespect the Word of God. But Revelation chapter 22, very last word that we are given. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. How many of you know that's serious? God's word will always come to pass. What God says He will do, He will do. And in this particular case, when you look at Jehoiakim, Jeremiah said, "This is what the Lord says to you. You'll have no one to sit upon the throne of David, and your dead body will be cast out into the heat of the day, and He will punish him for this iniquity." Jehoiakim never repented. And as we see in other scripture references, turn back to Jeremiah chapter 22. Because in time of reference here, in Jeremiah 22, again, it's the same thing with Jehoiakim. Jeremiah 22, verse 18. "Thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, 'Ah, my brother, ah, my sister.' They shall not lament for him, saying, 'Ah, Lord,' or 'Ah, his glory.' He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." How many of you know that is not what kings should be buried like? Because this was pronounced against this man because he did not respect the word of God. His iniquity went way beyond that, and he laughed in God's face at God's word. I do want to say this. Do not disrespect the word of God. I hear a lot of people saying, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't believe it. I don't think it's for today. I don't think this. I don't think that. I don't think that it's appropriate for today." Be careful, because we know what was said to Jehoiakim. God would never do that. Be very, very careful here. The last portion that I want to read regarding what happened to Jehoiakim, and go back with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 24. "In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon, and sent against him Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servants the prophet Jeremiah. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." Let me ask you this. Did God give him an opportunity? Yes. He absolutely did. We saw that. God's faithful. He will always give the opportunity. But Jehoiakim laughed in the face of God, and the Lord said, "I will not pardon that," and refused to turn. The last point that I want to make from this is God restores what the enemy tries to destroy. God restores what the enemy tries to destroy. How many of you has the enemy tried to destroy in your life? But here is the wonderful thing. And again, we come back to this in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 32, the last verse that I read. "Then took Jeremiah another roll, gave it to Baruch the scribe, and what did God do? He restored." You see, the devil thinks that he can just totally destroy what God is doing. But the Lord has another plan, let me tell you. Laura and I on our trip saw some amazing sights out west, and some of these formations and rock formations and things that had happened. And You know, when you go through the national parks, they always tell you, well, you know, millions of years ago this happened, and you know, this happened, and it split this apart, and this and that, and you know what, I don't disagree, but I have my own theory on this. If you'll bear with me just a second here. When you go back and you look at Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when I look at that, God does all things well. He created the heavens and the earth. But then the next verse that we see, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What happened? I believe that somewhere in between verse 1 and verse 2, that Satan was thrown out of heaven. Now this is, again, this is my personal thinking, and as I was telling Laura this, Jesus said, I saw Satan cast from heaven to earth. And when he was cast out, do you think he was happy? Let me ask you this. What does Satan do? Kill, steal, and destroy. According to John 10:10. But the Lord said, I've come that they might have life, right? And life more abundantly. I believe that God made something beautiful out of what Satan tried to destroy. Because then we look back again and we see the rest of creation happening. Now that's my own particular thinking here. Some people think otherwise. But something happened that caused all the destruction. But as you look around, how many of you have seen some of those beautiful things that were out there? God did that. And though destruction tried to come, God restored. And God makes something beautiful. How many of you heard that song? Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. I don't remember the rest of the words. But I remember the end, and He'll make something beautiful of my life. Wasn't that a great song? Yeah. I always make up my own words, okay? But I know this, that God will make something beautiful. He will restore. And just like He restored there, the book that was cast into the fire, Jehoiakim said, all done, all gone away, burned up. Like, God, you can't do anything about that. God says, you don't know me. And God made a restoration there of that book. And one of my very favorite scriptures, Isaiah 55:11. Does anybody know that scripture? So shall my word be that comes forth out of my mouth. It shall do what? Huh? It shall not return void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do. And it will prosper in the thing that I sent it to do. You see, the word of the Lord is alive. And what He says He will do, He will do. And I love that because it will not return void. When you hear the word of God, it is not returning void. It will not come back empty. That's what that means. It will do what God said it will do. And when you sit listening to the word of God, it should be doing something to you in changing us. The last scripture that I want to read is out of the book of Joel regarding this point. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 and 27. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dwelt, dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has destroyed. Nothing is impossible with God. Some of us might think, well, I'm getting older, I don't know whether I can do anything for God. Let me tell you something. You can. Even with gray hair.
Amen, Pastor.
The Lord will restore. He will restore. That's His promise. How many of you believe that? What the enemy tries to destroy, He'll make something beautiful of your life. Today, no matter what's happening in your life, will you trust Him? We've had a word from Jeremiah here this morning. Trust Him because He's going to be faithful to you. His promises will endure. Amen. Amen. How many of you received the word from Jeremiah from the Lord today? Is it for us? It's for us today. Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. And we thank You, Lord, for the time that we've had together here in this place. And Father, You're faithful. You're just faithful. Thank You for the time. Now let that word just penetrate into our hearts, and we will give You thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.